irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to an exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron. Justin Nimmergood will be out this week, but he'll be back in black next week, blowing and going as always. So, it's the Just Us department here, just me and a special guest that we have coming on for you today. So hope everybody is having a good second week, it seems. This is the second week or first week in December as the holidays get started. Hopefully you're getting ahead of your decorations or at least got those put up and you're getting on your shopping and your online shopping. And we hope you are staying focused out there and keeping positive. And in that vein and keeping positive, have a special guest for everybody today. This is a woman that we actually met through social media and some common friends. I'm from the South Texas area. And so is our guest. She's from the Southeast Texas area. So it's always a pleasure to get more diversity on the show, some more Texas people. anyway, so glad to have her come on. She has a great story to tell from her beginnings in a very small town in Southeast Texas and where she is today and where she's going. And she's still in her 20s, so she's far from done. She's just beginning. So I'd like to introduce Blaine Ochoa to our show today. Blaine, how are you doing?
Hi, Bruce. Hi, everyone. I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on. I'm so excited to be speaking with you guys today.
Well, good. Glad to have you come on. It's always a pleasure to bring on guests, and sure wanted you to come on the show today. So I guess let's talk a little bit about now. Currently, you know, you do work for a local affiliate in the Beaumont area, but let's go back. Let's kind of step in the time machine and go back to your beginnings. Talk a little bit about your high school. I know I used to take the Bolivar Ferry to go crabbing back in the day, but talk about where you grew up and the high school and all that.
Yes. So I was born in Galveston, and I grew up on the Bolivar Peninsula in a town called Crystal Beach, Texas. So it's a very small beach town, a very unique community. I loved it a lot. I have my family lived down there as well. I have a brother and a sister, and we went to a very small high school. I'm sorry?
No, that's okay. Keep going.
Yeah. So I went to a very small high school called High Island High School. It was 1A school, so very tiny. I actually graduated valedictorian of my high school, so that was a huge honor and achievement in my life. But yeah, I loved growing up down there. It was very unique, and not a lot of people, you know, get to say they grew up on a beach, so it was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. So, wow, I didn't know that you were the valedictorian. Well, congratulations for that achievement. That's an achievement. So
thank you.
What persuaded you as valedictorian? I'm sure you had some choices, and I know you went on to Texas State University. What swayed you to that direction?
I did. Yes. Now Texas State is a great university. I really went there because it's an amazing school. Two, I love the area. I love big cities, but I also love a small town feel. So that was perfect. It's a perfect location. And I also have some family up in that area in Central Texas. So overall, it was a perfect school. I loved every minute of it, really. I was also involved in Delta Gamma sorority there. So that was really special for me to be a part of in college. I learned so much from it and made lifelong friends. So it was definitely an amazing experience.
What did you major in or what did you finish out of? What was your degree at Texas State?
Yeah, I have a degree in communication studies with a minor in mass communication.
Excellent.
And
so,
yes.
And then what happened?
So after I graduated in 4 years, so did all 4 years there, and I moved back down to Southeast Texas. I got a job in Beaumont, actually, working for a healthcare company doing marketing, and then I later moved to Houston, Texas, and did advertising or in marketing for a law firm in Houston. And then I did that, and then while doing that, I also became more involved with modeling. So I've done modeling for quite a few years now. It's a passion of mine. I love it. I've done modeling for a few big companies. Elaine Turner, she's a incredible fashion designer in Houston. Sackowitz Furs, and a variety of other modeling jobs. And then, let's see, I also started writing. I also love to write. I started writing at a young age, writing songs. And that love for writing has kind of turned into articles. So I get to write articles now for a magazine in particular in the Houston Bay Area. It's actually called Bay Area Houston Magazine. And then I did some writing for LCA Houston Magazine as well. And I had a beauty column in LCA Houston Magazine called Beauty with Blaine. And that's actually how my Beauty with Blaine column or my blog was formed for my first article for LCA Houston Magazine.
Well, that's excellent. Let's go back. First of all, I like the fact that you actually, you picked a major, finished it in a timely manner. Hats off to you. I know I finished mine in 4 years, and that's good that you got yours done in 4 years. That's an accomplishment there, and you're actually utilizing, even in present day, what you studied in school. So I think that's kind of amazing in today's world. And there's no big deal if you don't, but I think it's great that you found your passion and you it was a good fit for you. Now, when you talked a little bit about being in DG Delta Gamma, and I know some people give Greek life a hard time. Can you talk a little bit about that was a good experience for you, and what were some of the characteristics or personal characteristics and habits and skills that you learned from being in a sorority?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely a lot of positives. We took grades very seriously, so that was definitely something that I really cared about, and I know all of my sisters did as well. And we took pride in just striving to learn as much as we can and making the best grades possible. Another thing I loved about it was the philanthropy part of it. I've been very involved in philanthropies and giving back to the community and being involved with local charities. So that gave me a great outreach to be able to do so, an outlet to do so. We had a foundation, or our foundation is called the Delta Gamma Foundation. So we were able to do work with them and reach out to local organizations in the community and, lend a helping hand. So that was something I really, really enjoyed doing with them. And also the friendship part. I made a lot of great friends. A few of the girls I'm still best friends with today, and they'll be in my wedding, and I was in theirs, actually.
Okay. All right. So once again, you still do have meaningful relationships from your sorority college days that carry on in present day.
Yes, of course.
Of course, yeah. I mean, but again, sometimes it happens, sometimes that doesn't. So I think that's really good that it has. I remember some frat brothers, but right now I'm just in touch with maybe one. So it's been a minute here. When you get closer to my age, it starts to thin the crowd a little bit. But that's great. Now, let's talk a little bit about, I know you've been in some pageants. Let's talk about your pageant life or pageant, I don't want to say career, but that kind of span. When did you first start doing pageants?
I actually did my first pageant when I was younger, in junior high. I told my mom I wanted to enter. She was like, okay. My parents have always been, very supportive of, whatever I set my heart on doing. So I did that, and I think it was National American Miss. And then I did one in high school, and then I did one in college. college. I was actually Miss Derby Days in college. So that was actually with all the sororities. So each sorority presented a girl or a woman to compete. And so I was represented at Delta Gamma. And so I actually won that. So that was very exciting. And then afterwards, it's kind of where my pageant journey, you know, really got more serious is after I graduated college, I entered into Miss Houston pageant, Miss Houston USA and Miss Kima. I was actually Miss Houston first runner up in 2017, which was a great honor of mine. And I have a lot of wonderful memories and I learned so much about myself from competing. And then I've competed for Miss Texas as well. So, but yes, probably the most memorable pageant was Miss Houston 2017 for me.
What's the most challenging aspect of being a pageant contestant? What's the most challenging, almost taxing, if you will, component of that?
I think really just, you know, it's like a job. It's a job and it's a sport and you have to dedicate yourself, you know, to doing the best you can. And you have to dedicate yourself for months in advance in preparation. I think that's probably the most taxing part of it is the commitment that you make to it, you know, when you decide you want to do it. And, you know, at least for me, you know, I would prepare months in advance. And so they judge you on three different categories. It's a swimsuit category, evening gown, and interview. So you have to score highly in each one of those to win. And so each one of those comes with different responsibilities in terms of preparation. So swimsuit, you know, you want to make sure you're physically fit and your healthiest self possible. Evening gown, you want to have everything prepared with your dress, your walking presentation, you know, being confident in who you are in your gown. And interview, you want to make sure you're well-versed on, you know, how to speak and communicate properly with others and, you know, be able to answer any questions that the judges throw at you. So it's all together a great experience. I love them so much. I've always learned so much about myself and really just being resilient, you know, and never giving up. I think that's a big part of it, you know, because you do spend so much time, you know, dedicating yourself to it. So you learn a lot about yourself. You learn a lot about yourself and who you are as a person. So I've definitely gotten a lot from them.
Well, that's great. Yeah. And it sounds like, you know, through it all, you're still a normal person. You know what I mean? That's one of the things I like about you that, you know, obviously you have a very wonderful look about you, but you're also just kind of a chill person. You know what I mean? And you don't.
Yes. Well, thank you.
Maybe this is coming. I'm in the Dallas area. but anyway, you don't see that chill person. I mean,
thank you.
You're welcome. Let me ask you this. This is kind of a sidebar question, but how do you feel about the whole swimsuit thing? I know there's been some hubbub about that shouldn't be in, that should be in, or, I mean, do you have any tough thoughts about, is that kind of a not fair thing to evaluate a woman on her beauty and stuff on, or do you have any thoughts on the whole swimsuit aspect of it?
I mean, I can definitely see both sides of it and see how, you know, each side has their points and, you know, good, valid points for each involved. I mean, I personally think that it's okay, you know, even though beauty is an inward and outer thing, you know, obviously beauty on the inside is more important and it's the most important thing. However, I think there's nothing wrong with a woman being able to show her body in a respectful form and way that's not derogatory and not looking down upon, but, you know, still showing her femininity in that way and form, I think is perfectly fine. And I think the Miss America pageant, it was formed on a swimsuit competition, you know, in the beginning. So I think there's nothing wrong with still keeping those traditions alive today, you know, and I can see the other side of it too. And there's nothing wrong with that as well. You know, they want to put a focus more on education and, you know, education and more of the inward beauty, which is wonderful as well. But I still think there's nothing wrong with being able to be confident, you know, who you are in a swimsuit. Especially when it takes a lot of work. You know, those girls put a lot of work and effort, you know, into keeping their body in the best shape possible. So I don't think there's anything wrong with the shaming that.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And I think sometimes even the evening gown, you know, situation can be pretty, you know what I mean? I think that's kind of more of a situation. I know I've been out to L.A. a lot. Oh, you know, some of the dresses I see, I mean, it's like, are you kidding me right now? I mean, the swimsuit would almost be a relief. But anyway. Yeah, right? I mean, so are you kidding me? And like.
No, I have seen some dresses like that as well.
Yeah, man. I mean, just crazy. So, and one last question on this, I know. So in the pageants you've participated thus far, I mean, do you agree that you think, okay, that the judges equally judged on the different spheres, you know, correctly? You know what I mean? Like it wasn't all slided on physical stuff, but even though there's a physical beauty component to those pageants, that, you know, the judges and officials take that into stride and they do give parity to your education and you are educated and they do mm-hmm. give attention to your ability to communicate verbally and you are very well spoken and very articulate. You don't even have a Texas accent. I'm ashamed of you. You sound like you're from
Thank you.
But
that could be a good or bad thing.
I'm teasing. But you know what I mean? So do you think there was bias in those competitions, or do you think even though, you know, those things are part of the competition, that the judges and officials take that into its equal consideration?
I mean, it is a beauty pageant. However, I think I know the pageants I've competed in, we get scored higher on interview. Like interview is the highest scored category. So I think that kind of answers your question. You know, it's a big portion of it is, you know, on who you are, who the girl is as a person, you know, and their morals and what they represent and how confident they are. And not just about outward beauty, but how confident you are in your swimsuit, you know, no matter what your body shape or form is. And same with evening gown, you know, just the way the woman carries themselves. So I think the judges, they do a great job, at least the pageants that I've been in. I think they do a great job of executing that and, you know, making the right decisions, you know, in the girls they pick.
Right. And it's not just about, like you said, there's even more of a higher variance on confidence and your ability to represent yourself verbally. Right.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's good to hear. I felt that way. And I've worked with several Trump contestant folks in different capacities over the years.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is. It's an interesting industry, but it sounds like you've really been able to participate that at a great level. And like you said, take those experiences and learn from those and really kind of can continue with your growth and your brand and what all you're doing. So I think that's great.
Thank you.
So where do we leave off? So then you did, so it sounds like there's several things that you're passionate about then, because you have the beauty side, the modeling side, a writing mm-hmm. side, an emerging or maybe a present music side. We can get to that in a few minutes. Or vocal mm-hmm. Music in terms
yeah.
of vocal. So talk about some of your passions and how you're growing those. And how old are you right now? You're 20.
I'm 25 years old.
25. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So, but you packed a pretty good bit into those 25 years and just still
going. Thank you.
You're welcome. No, it's good to hear. So let's talk about some of your passions that you've acquired now. So, now, are you still doing the writing for the magazines as a contributor, or are you on staff, or how does that work?
Yes, I am. I write for Bay Area Houston Magazine, and I recently did. I've kind of slowed down with my LCA magazine. However, I can still submit things there. But I do. I love writing. It's a way to express yourself, and you know, just really. It's a stress relief. It's a way to express yourself and just really get your thoughts out and try to encourage others. for me at least, I mean, I really try to encourage others and inspire people with my writing, and especially with my Beauty with Blaine. So it may get confusing. So I have my blog that's called Beauty with Blaine, and I write my articles around people in the beauty and health community, and also just people, you know, who are inspiring, doing really great things in life. And I tie that around, you know, stories of hope and encouragement. And so some of those stories are featured for the magazine, for Bay Area Houston Magazine that I write for, and as well as how I was doing with LCA Houston Magazine.
Okay. Yeah, and that's one of the core parts of this show, and in terms of coaching, executive coaching, life coaching, and those things, is really reaching out to people or working with clients and helping, you know, helping the clients obviously get to a better place. And that's done by using more positive psychology, obviously. And that's what coaching is more of, is being more positive and providing encouragement to our clients, and you know, and helping people or helping clients overcome their self-limiting thinking, you know, that keeps them down or keeps them in a place. So how, and we didn't cover this, but how, talk about your writing and how some of the encouraging aspects of your writing, like what does the reader pick up from your writing that they might not have got before they started reading your piece?
Yeah, really, I mean, for a few examples, I've written about forgiveness, forgiving yourself, forgiving others. That's a way of power and a way to move on and grow as a person. I've talked about being thankful. Being thankful for, you know, where you've come from and what you're doing and where you're going. Thankful for what you have. I've been on a mission trip to South Africa before, and just seeing people who are so thankful that have so little, but they're so thankful. It really opened my eyes, you know, especially to live in America, which is the best country, in my opinion. And it, we live in a free land and free country, and just being thankful for that too, I think we take for granted. I've also spoken about health, the health industry, and beauty, and just, you know, being able to love who you are, you know, love who God created you to be, love who you are as a person, love your flaws, because, you know, flaws are, it's a part of what makes you who you are. And, you know, just owning that, and, you know, just owning your opinions and not being afraid. Not being afraid. I think fear is such a big setback for people. Just fear can cripple us. And when we let go of fear, it can really empower us. You know, we step outside that comfort zone, we can really do incredible things, you know, and things that we're created to do. So, you know, I really try to hit that hard in my writing too, and inspire others to do that. You know, coming from a very small town, and a very small, you know, just family outlet, you know, it's something I had to learn and grow. And I thank God I had a very good support system. My family is wonderful. But it's, I wasn't seeing, you know, people who are doing the same thing that I wanted to do in my dreams. And so it was something I had to step outside my comfort zone, you know, even to take those first steps. You know, even with the pageant, with my writing, with music. So it's something that you have to let go of fear in order to move on.
Did you have any, I mean, you briefly allude to it. I mean, you came from a small town, but even still with valedictorian, so like you were doing pretty good. What were some of the fears? And I say that word loosely, but what were some of your fears or anxious spots? Let's say in college and then right out of college that you yourself have even overcome.
I think one of my fears was just being confident enough and believing in myself. I think that was something that kind of held me back. You know, it wasn't, I'm very big in my faith. I love Jesus Christ and I'm a Christian. So I've always had my faith. And my faith has been very big to me. And I've always kind of lived by the verse, Philippians 4:13, which says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And when I fully grasped that verse and when I fully believed, you know, in who God was and that he loved me and that he wanted to do great things with my life, when I fully let that in, I kind of overcome a lot of my fears. I believed in myself more. I had more confidence. And even going back to being valedictorian, just believing that I could do it, you know, I think that's a lot of what it is that holds people back is believing in yourself. And for me, at least, that was my big, I think, fear, and just being good enough. And actually, you know, when you, that statement, being good enough, it's kind of like who you're being good enough for, you know, is it for others? Because that's never going to happen. That's never, you're never going to be good enough for others, because each person has their own standard on what good enough is. And so you kind of have to come to terms with who you are and be your best self. And in my eyes and in God's eyes, you know, I am good enough. And so that's kind of how I looked at it.
Right. And if you're doing what you're doing, you know, first of all, if you're answering the call in terms of following your own God-given, you know, spiritual talents, right? I mean, we have, you know, talent sometimes is a gift that's given to us. And if we use that for kingdom building purposes, right? We use that to, right? Spread the gospel and reach others, right? Like you
absolutely
said, you've had a heart for the underserved, one of the mission trip, even in the sorority, you know, doing projects and those for disadvantaged folks. That's, and you know what? That's part of it. That's what God calls us to do, is to be with the poor and the widows and, you know, the lesser of the least, you know what I mean? So I totally get that. But that's a big point, man. And I don't want our listeners to get that, because I think sometimes that can be a big differentiator with people of faith or Christians. And, you know, I'm not saying anything about other denominate or other.
Yeah.
Beliefs, but I think with Christians, you know, we say, okay, you know, this is, you know, just God, you know, let me be in the center of your will today, and, you know, give me wisdom and discernment to make the next right decision, and hopefully that's in the middle of your will, and you're doing what you're doing, not just for yourself and not just on your own, right? Because if I just tried
absolutely
to get my own, I'd be. I went by my own strength, bro. I'd be like a jello shot, actually, without the cup.
Yes, same.
That's a bad analogy right now, but certainly the jello part, you know, just like, oh my gosh. And so, I think
I agree. It's, you know, it's not about us, and that's something too. It's not about us. It's about him. It's about our purpose in life. And that's truly the most important, is to help others. And my good friend, Joanne King Herring, she once said to help others help themselves. And that line has always stayed with me as well. And it means so much to me. And when you fully grasp it, it kind of changes your outlook also. You know, to truly, if you're helping someone, if you give them guidance, if you encourage them, if you give them good advice and uplift them, you know, they take that and they internalize that, and they themselves grow, and they're helping themselves. And in return, it's like a cycle, and they can help someone else. And so I think that's such a great, great line, and it's great advice for others and for me.
Yeah. I've known Joanne since she was Joanne King. Yes. Yes, indeed. Been around. Oh, Houston favorite.
She's amazing.
She is my butt on Facebook also, and all that good stuff. So yeah. So anyway, I think that's an important piece, because in coaching, you know, myself as a coach, right? I kind of serve as a coach, encourager, accountability partner, and those things. And man, look, make no mistake about it, right? It helps to have other human beings in your life, right? That are supporting and encouraging you. We don't always have that. You know what I mean? I mean, even though the world the world is a lonely place, man. I mean, there's more people. There's people probably with 5,000 Facebook friends and 10,000 Instagram followers, and they're some of the loneliest people I've ever met. You know. So as coaches and encouragers, you know, we partner with people and help them with where they're going. So that's a real good really good. So can you talk a little bit about what you do for KBMT or anything like that?
Yeah.
Do it.
Yes, I work for KBMT Channel 12 in Beaumont, Texas. We serve the Beaumont community and Golden Triangle area. I actually do marketing and sales and advertising for the station. I really enjoy it. I get to help clients meet their advertising goals. So I go out and speak with other people and learn about their businesses and see how I can help them in that form. I also I've done a little bit of on-air things. I've helped my beauty client with her commercials. So I interviewed her and we're able to go on air with that. And then also I'll be contributing for the new beat segment that happens on weekdays. I'll be going on actually the 10th of December, helping out with the beauty segment that day. It's on Makeup Mondays. I'll be talking about radiant winter skin. So I'm excited for that also.
Boy, make sure you get that on your Instagram, you know, part of your Facebook story and Instagram story if you get a chance to use that footage. You know what I mean?
Yes, for sure.
And there in front of the TV and film it. that's what I have my family do. But anyway, but yeah, that'll be great. So it sounds like now, how long have you been with KBMT now?
I started with them in the beginning of August. So how many months does that make?
Not very many, to be honest with you. So good for you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, well, thank you. Yeah, thank you. Now I've learned so much. Just the TV industry is incredible. It's a great, great outlet to be in. I'm very thankful to be with the company.
Yeah. That's really good. And get some great experience there, kind of a hometown channel and everything, and work your way into the rotation there. Maybe get more spots, another show, and this and that, and kind of see how your on air media thing grows and go from there. So that's exciting. How do you like being in sales? I know you have a communications degree and everything, but it wasn't necessarily business and sales. Is that, has that been pretty cool?
Yeah.
Or is it a little awkward? Like, Blaine, you got to close a deal. Like, what the heck? Like, you only made, I don't know if you're getting that kind of pressure from your bosses, but how is that working in marketing?
It's good. It is high paced. It's very fast. You know, you do have to make your sales goals. But I think it all kind of ties in together. I mean, having a degree in communication, you know, you learn how to speak to people, you know, you learn how to make those connections. And so I use that, you know, I use that on a daily basis, going out into the community and meeting people and learning about their businesses. So I definitely utilize that. And my minor was mass communication. So that's more of the mass media. And so that's what TV is. I mean, it all comes together. And I think having that degree, it's a broad degree. The communication studies degree is broad. However, it works great for what I've done with it and for where I'm at right now with the TV station.
That's good. That's you're right. I mean, it is a broad degree, and it covers a lot of different aspects. And working in a TV station, of course, is perfect. But so it's good that you're getting some backside experience as well as on air stuff. So that's just totally cool and totally exciting. Then you have the whole.
That was exciting.
So that's another form of communication. So, man, just running true to form. And so now I saw you and some handsome cowboy doing some song or something. I've been seeing that. Tell us a little bit about your Christmas Carol song and what's going on with that.
One of my dreams, I have so many dreams going on here, but one of them is to pursue a career in the music and entertainment business. So I've always had a passion for music since I was a little girl. And so we finally, you know, was able to see that dream come true at a larger level. And so we recently, my friend and I, Michael Ryan, he's a Christian country singer in particular. And we recently released a single, or our single, Oh Holy Night. And we actually also released a Christmas album that is out and is available to purchase. And so it's very exciting because not only is, you know, singing is such a huge passion to me, but it's, I love Christmas time. It's my favorite time of the year. So it was especially fun for us to do a Christmas song in particular. And Oh Holy Night happens to be my favorite Christmas song as well. So it's been really fun. We actually just performed it live at a fashion show, actually yesterday night in Houston. So that was a great time. And then we have a few more performances lined up, actually, where we'll be singing that solo, that duet.
Oh, that's great. So you got some live performances. Now, did you say you have a full-on album as well?
We do, yes. It's his album, Michael Ryan. However, I am in four of the songs on the album. So it's kind of yeah, a little project we did together. So we're super excited about it.
That's fantastic. And now, is that available on iTunes and the normal stuff, or is it just internet sales, or how do folks get it?
Yeah, no, our song, Oh Holy Night, is available on iTunes, Apple Music, Spotify, or iHeartRadio, Amazon, Pandora, all of those networks. It's available to purchase. And then the CD is a hard copy, so that's available through us.
Okay, that sounds good. So yeah, if you have not right now, but in just a few minutes when we close, if you have a website or whatever you want to direct our listeners to be able to get the full album, that would be good. So that's excellent. So man, if I was you know, growing up near Bolivar or Crystal Beach or somewhere down there, League City, or all those places are kind of big now, huh? You know, Pasadena and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
it sounds like you've been an inspiration for others. And have you worked with some folks or talked to some high school kids or other kids? And you know, we had talked about how you just really encourage even the youth to hang on to their dreams, work toward their dreams.
Absolutely. Yes. I have a variety of different girls in particular, you know, who reach out to me, email me, text me, Facebook, Instagram, message me just about questions, the modeling industry, pageantry is a big one, and writing as well, just, you know, how to get started in those industries. So I love to give them my tips and my advice and kind of guide them and help them in different ways, you know, in order to helping their dreams come true. And so it's kind of funny going back to the Miss Houston pageant when I was, Miss Houston 2017. And it's a kind of funny story that not many people know of, kind of only the people in the audience, but I was competing for the evening gown competition and I had this beautiful silver gown on and it was my turn to walk. And so I'm solo on the stage, walking out on the catwalk. And I do my first turn and I fall. I completely just fall on stage, flat on my booty. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I can't believe I just fell in front of everybody. The audience like gasped. And like, I'm fighting back tears. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, like I have to get back up. So I stand up and, you know, the audience is at this point clapping and standing up and everyone's shocked. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And so I'm kind of like a slow motion. So I remember like looking up like into the light and one, I was like, God, are you serious? Like I just felt like I worked so hard and, you know, just kind of fall, you know, at that peak moment was heartbreaking. And, you know, at that same moment, I kind of felt a wave of peace come over me and a feeling that it was going to be okay. And I kind of felt like, you know, God was saying, you're going to be okay. Just get back up. And so I did. I got back up and still trying to fight back tears. I walked back out, did another circle for the judges. People are still clapping. And so I go back after I do the walk again, and I stand back in my spot and, you know, still trying to not cry. So after I get off stage, I finally start bawling my eyes out to one of my best friends, Hannah. And she's like, it's okay. It's going to be okay. And so the next day, that was for prelims, actually. So for finals comes around, and actually everything went smoothly. And I ended up getting first runner up that year. So it was a major achievement, and I was very proud of my performance. And at the end, after the show was over, I had a girl come up to me, and she said, you know, I just wanted to say that I really admired what you did tonight. You, after you fell, you got back up and you kept going. And I was really encouraged and inspired by that. And so I think I started crying at that moment, and I was like, well, thank you. You know, I'm so happy that, you know, I could help you in that way. And she said that, you know, she took that away from it, and that's what she was going to do, you know, with her life. And so it was kind of funny, even though I was sad about falling, but God kind of used that, you know, as a way to show others that you can get back up, you know, after you fall down, and you can keep going. You have to. And I even learned that in that moment. I kind of learned, you know, who I was more, and that I'm stronger, and, you know, that with God, I can get back up and I can keep going. And so it's kind of a crazy situation, but it was very rewarding at the same time. And so that's what I also try to share with others is to never give up and get back up after you fall.
No, it's awesome. I bet you, you know, I bet you could ask anybody in the audience, hey, do you remember the contestant from wherever, you know, from Seabrook or whatever? Like, no, do you remember the lady that fell and got back up? Absolutely. You know what I mean? I mean, see what I mean? They're not going to forget that. And like you said, it's totally worth it if what you did ministered to one person to help encourage them in their life. Hey, the fall is totally worth it. You know what I mean? It's totally worth it.
Yeah.
And I know you know that, you know what I mean? And that's how God works. You know, it makes super good things sometimes out of a little bad thing. So,
yeah, works in mysterious ways.
Yeah. And the Bible is, you know, fraught with stories of that, you know, and good finishes from less than stellar things that might happen. But that's okay. You know, I mean, that's okay. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. And obviously, right? I mean,
yes, absolutely.
Yeah, obviously you're positive now and moving forward, and all these other areas of your life are moving forward. So I think that's wonderful.
Thank you.
Let me ask you, you're welcome. So I know you're just 25 now. We might have you on the show next year. You might be doing a whole lot of stuff next year. But what do you think you're looking at yourself now, what do you think the avenues are for you now in terms of, you know, the top one or two or maybe three things you're going to be doing moving forward? Will it be beauty? Will it be broadcast? Will it be more business endeavors? Will it be more, you know, philanthropy? What do you think, or music? What do you think will be the top two or three things you'll be focusing on this next year?
Yeah, definitely want to grow with the station, the TV station I'm at, KBMT. Definitely want to grow there and work my way up, you know, in the company. Also, I want to continue to pursue my music. You know, that's a big dream of mine. So definitely release some more singles on my own and, you know, see what I can do there. Fully pursue that. And also, I plan to compete for Miss Texas next year. So that'll be in the fall of 2019.
Oh,
so it's almost time to start. Yeah, so I'm excited about that. It's almost time to start preparing for that.
Well, man, we have
way out in advance.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got a
what
reason.
Is it?
I said now we have a reason to watch Miss Texas on the concert.
Yes.
We'll be all right. We'll get a little fan. little fan base from North Texas, DFW, and some of the unlikely suspects in the North cheering from you or for you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
appreciate that.
That's good. So Hey, I like that, you know, and again, I think that's it's really interesting for me as a coach to see your emerging brand. You know what I mean? It's not the cement is far from wet or far from dry, rather. It's very wet. You know, you're still growing here, growing there, and still just developing all those channels. And that's fine. You know what I mean? I know that myself, and I was talking to somebody else that had more than one kind of service line that they were doing, and people were like, oh, you're just a jack of all trades and master of none. Like, shut up. You know what I mean? Like, this is what's going on. And, you know, and we're going to develop the service line. So I think that, man, that's exciting. So, and, you know, I just feel encouraged talking to you, you know, you're just really moving down the way and just following your dreams and doing it with style and poise and confidence. So, right.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. It's hard. It's tough, but it's worth it. Yes.
No. Yeah. I wish. Yeah. I mean, I won't say wait, but yeah, I was thinking about when I was your age in graduate school and just kind of cutting through the forest of school and other types of growing experiences before I could kind of get, you know, get the career path kind of rolling in a solid trajectory. So this is good to hear and fun to hear. So in the few minutes that remain, how can our listeners A, buy your album, and or B, maybe even contact you, or I don't know if you have Instagram that you want to share publicly, but if you do, that'd be great. And if they follow you, they can reach out to you on that account. So what are the ways folks can contact you, Blaine?
Yeah, you can definitely contact me on Instagram. My handle is Blaine, which is BLAINE, Janelle, JANELL. You can do that. You can buy the single on iTunes. You just type in Michael Ryan featuring Blaine, O Holy Night. So either reach out on that way. I'm also on Facebook. It's Blaine Ochoa. But yes, I'd be glad to connect with you guys, answer any questions that you have. I'm happy to help.
Well, great. Well, thanks for coming on the show today. And
absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Well, you're welcome. And hopefully we'll be able to check in with you here 6 months or a year or so down the road and see where you're at that time. Or maybe you'll be so famous you'll remember the little podcast good here. Like, hey, remember me? Bruce Cameron.
No.
Bruce who? I don't know what you do. Like, get off my page, dude. Just kidding.
You guys are special. Thank you.
Well, folks, don't forget to come to our iTunes page. The Concierge Coaches Show has its own iTunes page, and we've already paid, so you can download this show and every other show we've done for free. So that's lovely. And also, the Concierge Coaches Show is archived on the latalkradio.com site. You go to channel 2 and click on the link for the Concierge Coaches Show. Myself and Justin's bio will come up there, and you just scroll down to all the shows, and you can click and you can press play on any of the shows, and you can download the shows as well for free from that site. We also have a Facebook page, Concierge Coaches Show. We have a Instagram page. My Instagram is at bcameron2, and my coaching website is at conciergecoach.net. So lots of connection points. Thanks again, Blaine, for coming on today. A pleasure to spend some time with you. Look forward to talking to you again. And folks, we'll see y'all here next week on the Concierge Coaches Show with another exciting show for you, and we'll see what that brings. So until then, have a wonderful week, and we'll see you here on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Take care, everybody.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.